Let's play spin the wheel. Where is it going to land? Is it going to be the end of time, the rapture, the destruction of Jerusalem, battle of Armageddon? Where is it going to be? That's what we're going to continue talking about this morning. There are so many different beliefs, people talking about things right now that are going on in the world, and we want to look and see what the Bible has to say. Before we get into that, I want to again say it's good to see everyone out. It's so nice to see so many children here this morning. I told Laura it was good to hear the chatter of children in here, and it's a very sweet sound. We are going to be looking at Matthew 24. I have a couple things to lead up to that. Last week we were talking about the thousand-year reign and the kingdom from Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There are so many people believe in premillennialism and 1,000-year reign. We saw that in the Old Testament, the Bible talked about the kingdom was coming. When we get to the New Testament, the kingdom is at hand. Then from Acts forward, we see the kingdom is in existence. We saw when Christ comes back, he's not going to set up another kingdom. He's going to take the kingdom that is in existence and deliver it up into heaven. People have to read into the Bible their own thoughts to come up with a lot of these doctrines. Again, the Bible says souls. Man says body. The Bible says they. Man says we. And where do you read about where this is going to be, this thousand-year reign? Revelation 24 doesn't mention earth at all. It doesn't mention Palestine. It doesn't mention Jerusalem. But again, you turn on any news source and you'll hear them talking about Palestine and Israel and Jerusalem, and the signs are at hand. So we're going to look at the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of time. And again, a little more warning. When we consider this, if a book says more than the Bible, it says too much. If it says less than the Bible, it says too little. If a book says the same thing, we don't need it. That's an old saying from generations ago. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, we have a warning not to add to the Word of God. And with all these books of men, I was thinking we need, like the Surgeon General came out years ago with a warning label on cigarettes, warning smoking may be hazardous to your health. We need a warning label like this. The Holy Spirit has determined that reading books of uninspired men can cause eternal damnation to your soul. We need to understand that. We need to understand that the Bible is inspired. Again, when we start looking at what is out there, every day you see more and more people talking about what is going on right now. Some of these I can't read. I'm trying to get as close as I can. Prophecy Live, yeah, it's being updated every minute. What's ahead for the U.S.? Talking about different things. This one, what the angel Gabriel told me will amaze you. The seven trumpets of Revelation. This is prophecy watchers. People out there coming up with all kinds of things. We want to see what the Bible says. And just to make it clear, if you want to pick one of those people or anybody else, one of those men, if you pick one, you can pick any of them. You can pick any of them. Because the opinion of one man is just as good as another, but it's not the same as the inspired Word of God. But they are still coming up with prophecies. 1 Corinthians 13:8, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. This is that which is perfect. It has come. It was once delivered for all. Those men are just making things up. But let's get into the text, and we will come back to that later. So in class, as we are going through Matthew 23, let's start at the end of chapter 23 for a little bit of introduction to get into 24. Matthew 23, and beginning at verse 33. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? And again, Jesus in Matthew 23 pronounced 7 or 8 different woes on the Pharisees. Verse 34. Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So this is the backdrop going into chapter 24. Again, the last week of Jesus' life. He has come to Jerusalem for the Passover. Everybody is trying to trip him, trying to trap him, so that they can bring some charge against him and have him put to death. 24, verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us then, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So on this slide of Jerusalem and the surrounding area, we see where the temple, there's what's left of the old wall, the temple around there, the Mount of Olives, the Kidron Valley, the Judean wilderness. And it says they sat on the Mount of Olives and asked him. And this was after they had looked at the temple. Jesus had foretold the destruction of Jerusalem. It's recorded in Luke 19, Luke 23, other places. And when you get to chapter 24, so many people, you go back to the spin the wheel, and they want to pick a little bit of everything on that wheel and put it into chapter 24. They'll say the rapture's in there. The tribulation that we're going through now is in there. The reign of Christ coming back. It's like everything that there is, they want to put in there. And they'll use the signs of the times to talk about the return of Christ. Notice in verse 4 of Matthew 24. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. He's speaking this to his disciples. But notice too, he mentions it in verse 4. Notice in verse 5, many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Verse 11, and many prophets will come up and deceive many. Verse 24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Right there in the first part of the chapter, he mentions four times that people are going to rise up and deceive them. Deceive them. People are still trying to deceive us today. Why is Jerusalem going to be destroyed? It's going to be destroyed for several reasons, as we'll see when we get into it. But back in 23 and verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. Jerusalem, the capital, was just so corrupt at this time. There was going to be a new kingdom put in place. Christ came, as we saw last week with the kingdom, to establish a spiritual kingdom. A spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. And they are still looking to Jerusalem to be a physical kingdom. We're going to see, too, that Christ is going to come in judgment on Jerusalem because of the wickedness. But this temple and its buildings, it would have been magnificent. Solomon's temple was amazing, but it was destroyed by Babylon in 586 BC. Then 70 years later, after the exile, the Jews went back and rebuilt it. And we remember when we went through that study, and the older men, when they saw the temple rebuilt, what did they do? They cried. They cried because it did not match the glory of Solomon's temple. But this is a different temple now. Herod the Great remodeled and added on to the temple. So this was a magnificent temple again. And Jesus went out, departed from the temple. His disciples came up to show him the buildings and the temple. He said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." When they had looked at that magnificent temple, they were probably thinking it's going to stand forever. And Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. It will all be thrown down. So let's pick up at verse 4 and keep reading. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this is the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come." So what Jesus is saying here, when is this going to take place? Is this like in 2021? Well, what did he say back in 23 and verse 36? "Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." What he's talking about was going to happen at that time. And notice that would include all of these wars, rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the famines, the things. And notice in verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Well, was the gospel preached to all nations, to the whole world, back then in the first century? Yeah, we know it was. Paul told us. Paul told us that in Colossians 1:23. The gospel had gone out into all the world. Let's pick up in verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is in the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go to get his clothing. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or in the Sabbath. For when there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, stars will fall from heaven, powers of the heavens will be shaken. I got to stop right there. You listen to any of those videos, you see, they're saying, see, this is what's going on right now. This is what's going to happen. Verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four corners, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation shall by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, if you don't have this in your Bible, you need to draw a line under verse 35. Because the first part of 24, from 1 down through 35, what's he talking about? He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. He sets that up back in 23:36. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. He mentions all of those things. And then again, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things have taken place. All of those things we just read about have taken place. Let's read a little more, because, and then we'll see how people twist some of this. Verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. From verse 36 on to the end of the chapter, we have the answer to the other question. The end of time. So Jesus is answering two different questions here about the destruction, the judgment on Jerusalem, and the end of time. Verses 1 through 35 and verses 36 through 44. With the judgment of Jerusalem, notice there's going to be signs. He mentions them. Verse 17 and on down in the tribulation that he's talking about. Back in verse 6. Wars, rumors of wars. And he says, "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom." Well, people will go to this and say, "Well, that's going on today, so it's talking about today." No, it's not. He's answering the question, when will these things happen to the destruction of Jerusalem? There were signs. For the destruction of Jerusalem, there were signs. How about the end of time? Are there signs? There are no signs. And what does he use to compare that with? With Noah. During the days of Noah, were there signs that the flood was coming? No. He's basically saying people went about doing what they would always do. They would eat, they would drink, they would get married. There were no signs, and then the flood came. Notice that the difference in these phrases on the judgment of Jerusalem, the destruction of Jerusalem, he says those days. Verse 22 mentions twice. Verse 29, the end of time is that day. In verse 36, he's talking about two different days. We can't confuse the two. The destruction of Jerusalem, how could they get ready? They couldn't. They couldn't get ready. And he told them, pray it's not at this time or that time. And if you're on the housetop, don't go back to get things. There's no way to prepare for it. How about the end of time? What's he say in verse 36? But of that, verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. The end of time when Christ returns, we can be prepared. And that's what, from verse 45 down through 51, he gives a parable then on being ready. Well, people say, but no, that's today. And just look at all the terminology. And a lot of people get confused because they don't understand the Old Testament. This phrase, coming in the clouds. What does coming in the clouds refer to? It's coming in judgment. You read Isaiah, it mentions that. The book of Lamentations, the book of Ezekiel. That is a phrase for coming in judgment. In Isaiah 19:1, the burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt. He's bringing judgment on Egypt. Matthew 24:30, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What's he talking about? He's bringing judgment on Jerusalem. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. What's he talking about? He's talking about bringing judgment on the seven churches. These churches hadn't repented. He is coming to bring judgment on them. He's coming in the clouds. This, again, is this symbolic, apocalyptic language that they would have all understood. Mark 14:62, Jesus said, "I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Possibly that was the destruction of Jerusalem, the end of time, or both, because Christ, again, is coming in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord." Talking about judgment at the end of time. There's nothing hard to understand if you go back to the Bible. If you go to another book, there's that warning, we're going to be deceived. Some of the language, Notice the apocalyptic language. The sun was darkened. The stars are falling. The coming on the clouds. Again, to them, to these Jews, they would have understood that because they had the prophets. They had the old law and the prophets. The sun darkened is the fall of Babylon. Isaiah 13:10, the distress of Egypt, Ezekiel 32:7. The day of Pentecost, Joel 2:28, is the same as Acts 2:20, where he prophesies about that. The government's falling, the stars falling, the fall of Edom, Isaiah 34:4. And again, this phrase referring to coming in the clouds is a coming of judgment. So we have the judgment of Jerusalem by the Son of Man. We have the end of time. Let me see where I need to catch up on here with where I am on the slides. So with the fig tree. Again, this is a parable of the fig tree. When the branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. What's he getting at? This is a parable. It's a sign. Just to give you an illustration to help you understand that, if I said, when you see the forsythia bloom, you know spring is right around the corner. You get that. If I said, you see the maple leaves leaf out all the way, you know summer is right around the corner. He says, now learn this from the parable of the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth its fruit, you know summer is near. They didn't have maple trees there. They had fig trees, so he's using fig trees. They could see that as a sign. He's telling them to look for the signs because these are the signs of when Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. You understand this, understand that. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of heaven will be shaken, the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He is going to come in judgment, and these powers, these governments that think they are in control are going to fail. No man's purpose can overtake God's plan. We see the need to be prepared. But again, notice how these two events, there are clear contrast between the two. And the signs of the judgment, they're absent. They are absent because those signs go back to the first part. Well, somebody is going to say, well, how do you explain the rapture? The rapture's in there. See, you just read that a little bit ago. Now I've got to see where I read it. Okay, down at let's pick up at verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only knows. But as the days of Noah, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken up and the other left. Two men will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So what goes through your mind? Does the rapture go through your mind, or does something else go through your mind? Does the rapture go through your mind because you've seen those movies, those commercials and the videos where two people are doing something and then poof, one of them just disappears? There's a lot of videos out there. Well, what is he talking about? The Bible is its own best commentary. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and begin reading at verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive will remain until the coming of the Lord, and by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So when two are in the field, one is taken and one is left. Is this the rapture? One is taken for reward. One is left for punishment. 1 Thessalonians 4 says he's going to come back in the clouds. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together. That's where you get the word rapture, caught up. In that sense it is. But we are going to be caught up in the clouds. What about those that aren't in the Lord? They are going to be left. Are they going to be left for a new kingdom? No. Because last week we saw when Christ returns, what's he going to do to this world? He's going to burn it up. He is going to destroy it. But people will say this is the rapture because they've read books or watched videos or seen movies instead of reading God's word. There's a lot of confusion that comes about from places other than the Bible. I normally don't like to do this, but I want to mention some names just to help us understand where some of this confusion has come from. Albert Barnes and Adam Clark were what so many people considered great commentators. They were from generations ago. They were generations ago. Albert Barnes was a Presbyterian, and Adam Clark was a Methodist. And both of them had premillennial ideas. And some of what they teach is okay. Some of what they teach is not. You've got to understand their mindset, their background. And it's just like I was saying, so many of the songs we sing have the word rapture mentioned in there because they are of that religious mindset. We've got to be aware of that. But those two men, and generations ago, there weren't a lot of commentaries out there. And those were two well-known, just a matter of fact. People through the Restoration Movement looked to people that had published things before that for information and notes and ideas. B.W. Johnson was one of the men from the Restoration, from that time frame. He wrote Johnson's Bible Notes. I haven't read that, but again, we've got to be careful because it's the works of man. And I'm saying that because of two men that followed B.W. Johnson is Guy N. Woods and John T. Hines. And I have a lot of these men's books, and most of them I refer to. If somebody tells me something, I can go and see if what they're saying is really actually true or not. Guy N. Woods and John T. Hines, they are more well known. They used to be publishers of the Gospel Advocate, which was not too long ago one of the major, well, it still is a major publishing company. They lean to the left, but I'm just saying these men have these ideas also. Well, where did this come from. A lot of that you can just trace it going back. And there was a writer, Edward Gibbon, and he was a writer. What was his religious beliefs? He went from one religion to another. He did not believe in the Trinity. He did not believe in miracles. He did not believe in the organization of the church. This is from McClintock and James Strong, the Cyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, Ecclesiastical Literature. McClintock and Strong are two very reputable scholars. If you have a Strong's Concordance, again, we have to compare that with the Bible. Basically, Gibbon was an infidel, and his unbelief is throughout what he writes. Again, he didn't believe in the Trinity. He didn't believe in miracles. He didn't believe in the institutionalized, the organized church. He had these ideas about things to come, and you can just see so many things come down from that. And again, you see it today. You go back to these, and everybody knows what's happening now because they read Matthew 24, they read Revelation, they think something's going on right now, and they say this is it. You can ask two people. One person will say Barack Obama's the Antichrist. Another person will say Trump's the Antichrist. Which one's right? Well, back to what I said at the beginning, if it's the opinion of men, they get equal weight because it's not the word of God. But you look at these people too and you stop and think. So what if somebody in Asia was looking at what's going on in Asia and they come up with what's going to fit the Bible? Or somebody down in Africa or over in Europe or in the United States. You can see how it's like, let's spin the wheel. And people will take a passage from here and a passage from there. And I hope that this lesson, the thing I want you to take away from this, is to understand from Matthew 24, there are two different events that's being talked about. The destruction of Jerusalem and then the end of time when Christ is going to come back. We see a clear break. That break is defined because he says two times, this generation. Those things, all of those things are going to take place to those people that he was speaking to at that time. There are going to be signs for that. When's Christ coming back? We don't know. Jesus doesn't know. Only the Father knows. The angels don't even know. And because of that, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. And again, this is a great opportunity for us to open the door to talk to people about the gospel. What do you think's going on in the world? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Let me tell you about what God says. Yeah, he's coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready for when he comes back? And friends, there are people out there hungering for the truth, and they're scared. They're scared because they hear things, they hear people telling them things that are just plain scary. We have God's word. We can be confident in it, and we need to take it and share it with others. Friends, are you ready for when Christ returns? He warns us over and over not to put it off. If you aren't ready, why not make yourself ready? Make yourself ready this morning and come forward as we stand and sing.